Our reading today is from Acts. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite of Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Let me say a word about upcoming Sundays. I will not be here next week, but I'm not going to miss the service. I'll be tuned in and watching. Dave is going to be preaching. And he says something is really stirring in his heart coming off of his Haiti mission trip. And he said he's got a whole fresh idea on talking about living by faith. And that's all I know, but that's enough to let me know something big is going to happen next Sunday. And I don't want to put pressure on Dave, but I kind of expect that to happen. 3 weeks from today, July the 21st, if you're in town, I hope you will be here that Sunday. One of my mentors in ministry, and I don't have many, but one of them is going to be here, Dr. Ken Lyon. He's the senior pastor of Matthew's Methodist Church outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's agreed to preach that Sunday, and I just look forward to hearing Ken myself. Look forward to you getting a chance to meet him and him meet you, and I hope you'll plan to be here on that day. So this is my last Sunday in this message on the series Living by Faith. Ways our faith can have great impact. And we've been looking at stories from the book of Acts for inspiration. For me, today's story is my favorite. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask for your Spirit's voice to speak into our hearts and give us that word of truth for living by faith that can make such a difference now and perhaps in untold ways ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The late Harry Emerson Fosdick, the famed preacher of Riverside Church in New York City, once said in a sermon, "Few persons have a chance to live their lives based upon their first choices. We all have to live our lives based upon second and third choices." Is that true of you? Looking back over your life and what brought you here to this point in life, are you where you are today because you always got your first choices? Or are you where you are because of interruptions to plans, because of detours along the way, learning how to make the most of second and third options? Has that had a hand in where you are? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when he finished his doctoral work in Boston, was invited by two congregations to preach trial sermons to see if they would invite him to be their pastor. One was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the other Montgomery, Alabama. Dr. King wanted to go to the church in Chattanooga. It was more prestigious, but they didn't invite him. So he accepted the invitation from Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery. Shortly after he arrived, a woman named Rosa Parks refused to sit in the back of a bus and was arrested. The area clergy had a meeting to see how they should respond, and like area clergy groups will do sometimes, they decided to invite the newest kid on the block to be the chair of the group. And that started the civil rights movement because someone accepted a second choice. When I was in college, I met a 17-year-old girl on summer staff at Lake Junaluska. She's from Kentucky, and just a few years before that, she lost a leg in a bicycle accident. She had been a great athlete, thought she would go to a major college on a scholarship. Now she was contemplating what the future holds and what other options there might be. Years later, over a decade later, I returned to the same community as a pastor and found out she was back in the community. She had gone on to attend the Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati to get her degree. While she was there, she came under the influence of Dr. Henry Leck, the director of the Indianapolis Children's Choir. She said, "One day, I want to be able to direct a choir like that. So she did it in that community. She started a choir and gave it the name Voices in the Laurel. They rehearsed in the church. Over her years of leading that choir, and she still leads it, she has touched hundreds of lives of young people who are now adults, many of them. These kids have had the chance to sing around the world because of a woman who faced a second choice. Have you ever had to face a second choice in your life? Do you know what it's like to end up in a place where you cannot yet see what the future holds, but what that place means is you've had to experience a broken dream? What does it mean to live by faith when you're not where you want to be, when you're in that kind of place? You know, that place has a name. You can find it on the map. It's called Troas. This is a map of Paul's second missionary journey. You can see in the lower right-hand part of the map, Paul began that journey in Jerusalem and went north to Antioch. And from there, he headed out into Asia Minor. He was going to visit churches started when he traveled with Barnabas, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe. In our scripture reading today, we see how at this point in the journey, things got very interesting for Paul. You might take back your bulletin or take out your bulletin and look again at the scripture lesson today in Acts 16. It begins saying, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, what do you think that felt like? How do you think they felt forbidden by the Holy Spirit? Do you think they just kind of had a troubling in their spirit about going to Asia, going east, that maybe that's not where God wants them to go? Or maybe they experienced some literal blockades like floods or storms, and they took that as a sign from God. We really don't know, but for some reason, they felt this was God's way of saying, I don't want you to go there. So it continues. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. You see Troas in the middle upper center of the picture on the Aegean Sea on the eastern coast. Twice, Paul felt God saying to him, no, I don't want you to go to Asia. No, I don't want you to go north to Bithynia. So all he knows is, now I'm in Troas. What am I doing in Troas? I didn't plan to come here, but that's where he is. Have you ever been to Troas? Have you ever been to that place that makes you say, what am I doing here? This is not where I set out to be in my life. I would have never dreamed of coming here. I don't want to be here. What I know is I wanted to be there. And my dream was broken. And now I don't know what is ahead. I don't know what is left in my... What do you do when you find yourself in Troas? Well, one thing we do is we rely on our GPS. Rely on our GPS. The other night, I was going to a meeting at a home of some members who live in Carmel, and I was running a little late, so I used my GPS to get me there quickest, and it took me up Township Road. Yeah, you Carmel people, you groaned then, didn't you? Well, why didn't you tell me last week? Yeah, I'm going north on Township Road doing just fine, making great time until I got to 96th Street, where the road is blocked because one of the 10,000 roundabouts in Carmel is under construction. It has to be that one. So all I could do was turn around and go back to 86th. And when I did, what did that sweet little voice on my GPS say? Recalculating, recalculating. The same is true of our spiritual GPS, God's positioning system. That when we experience an obstacle and a blockade from getting where we intend to be, it does not prevent God from being able to locate us and continue directing us. Sometimes I hear people, when they hit snags in life, ask the question, is this God's plan? And I think, well, what's the alternative? That no, that's not God's plan. I mean, that is an awful place to be, isn't it? Well, God has no plan for me now. I guess I am really lost. Now, you've got to be lost when that's the case. You can never get so lost that God can't find you and continue directing you. Everything is a part of God's plan. Now, that does not mean God causes everything that happens to us. It just means that nothing can happen to us. God is unable to use and continue working through it. Sometimes our detours can lead to great blessings. I know Jerry Falwell was a controversial figure to many, but there's a funny story about a time when he was the pastor at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Back in that time, the church had a bus ministry. They'd go all over Lynchburg and pick up teenagers and bring them to a Sunday night service. But they found out something was happening. Kids would get off the bus, and instead of going into the church, they'd head downtown. They'd have a good time. And they knew when the bus would leave, they knew about when the service would end. That's when they'd come back and get on the bus to go home. They were just getting a free ride to town. So the church met about this, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put ushers out on the sidewalk on Sunday night. And when you see those kids starting to wander downtown, grab them, bring them inside. So one Sunday night, these two boys were walking down the sidewalk, headed downtown. Two ushers grabbed them by the collar. They pulled them inside, took them down to the front row, set them down. Well, the sermon was very powerful that night. I mean, the boys just listened intently through the whole service. And when an invitation was given at the end of the service to accept Christ in faith, they responded. After the service, a couple of men in the church sat down with them and talked to them about what that means and what might be some next steps in their lives. They finished. They said, now, boys, the buses have already left, but we'll make sure you get home. And the boys said, what buses? They said, well, the buses you rode to get here. They said, we didn't ride any buses. We were just walking down the street, and these two men grabbed us. True story. Sometimes your detour, your unexpected interruption, can lead to a lasting blessing. Rely on your GPS, God's positioning, to know that God is always directing and at work. Something else we learn from Paul when we land in Troas is focus on other people. Focus on others. Look at how the story continues. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. In the city of Berea, Greece, there is a modern mosaic in the center of the town commemorating that scene. This is a picture of it. You see Paul asleep, and he sees this vision, hearing a voice saying, come help us. Now, why would a city today put money into that kind of beautiful work of art to commemorate a Bible story? Because that is how Christianity got to Greece. That is how Christianity got on European soil. Christianity came to Europe because Paul responded to a cry for help. You know, when I'm going through a difficult patch in life, that is when I'm least motivated to focus on other people's needs. It's always a hard time to be a pastor when you're struggling with your own burdens. And yet, Paul is a great example to me that sometimes the door of opportunity, the door of healing in my life, the door of fresh possibility comes when I'm willing to take the focus off of my own woes and self-pity and turn it to other people who might be struggling. What about you? When you're focused on how did I get here, this is not where I want to be, can you break the cycle and just start thinking, who are people around my life who might need some kind of help? Maybe it's a neighbor who is going through a period of grief. Maybe you can think of somebody at work you can remember sharing a challenging issue in life. Maybe volunteering for a ministry or a mission. Something to get the focus on other people. We are the ones. We are the ones who benefit. One last thing Paul teaches us when we land in Troas is to be willing to dream a new dream. Be willing to dream a new dream. Look at how the story ends. When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. You might circle the word immediately. It doesn't say that Paul spent a lot of time saying, I've got to take more time to get over my broken dream. I'm not ready yet to do a new thing. I need some time to heal and recover. It says immediately. Paul was able to turn his attention from the dream he had to say, well, maybe this is where God is leading me. I'm willing to follow a new dream. What a powerful characteristic. I mean, would you agree that dreams are important in life? I mean, we all need dreams, don't we? Dreams add fuel and energy to life. What are your dreams today? What are the dreams for your life, your career, your family, where you want to be one day? I mean, if you look back over your life, might you even feel like I'm already living some dreams? I have to be reminded of that. I mean, when you were a kid, would you ever imagine having the things you have in your life right now? Or having done some of the things you've done in your life? I turn to the person next to you right now. Turn to somebody, look at them and say, are you living the dream? Sometimes we need to be asked. And we need to be reminded. I am living the dream. Things are good. Paul lived with dreams. He dreamed of going to Asia Minor. He dreamed of going to Asia, of going to Bithynia, of going to Greece, of going to Rome. And one day, Paul dreamed of even going to Spain. But you know what was powerful about Paul? Not just that he had dreams, but he had an even greater characteristic, the ability to let go of a broken dream and dream something new when it came along. I know it's hard. It's hard to have broken dreams, but do you know what's even harder? Not letting go of a broken dream. Now that's really hard. You remember a scene from the movie Field of Dreams? Kevin Costner had a vision, build a baseball park in the middle of his Iowa cornfield and they will come. Because he starts pursuing this vision, it causes him to intersect with other people and their dreams in life. And there's this great scene toward the end of the movie when he meets a retired doctor who years before, when he was a boy, dreamed of playing big league ball. He almost realized that he had one at bat. That was it. One at bat, and the dream was over. And he went on to live out a good life as a doctor in a small town in Minnesota. Well, here's Kevin Costner with him, late in life, saying, I don't know how, but I believe you're supposed to come with me. You can realize your dream. And the doctor won't go. And in that scene, Kevin Costner said, you know, some people would call that a tragedy, to get that close to your dreams and not realize them. And this is one of my favorite lines in a movie. The old doctor's played by Burt Lancaster. And he turns to him and he says, oh, son, if I had never become a doctor, now that would have been a tragedy. If I had never become a doctor. The next time you're faced with a broken dream, just consider that as you continue to seek God's guidance and as you focus on letting God use you to be a blessing to others, you just might discover something that would cause you to say, had I gotten my first dream, that would have been a tragedy. The dream is what I get to do now. Oh, gracious God, fill us with such faith so that we can live it out when we're in our own Troases, those unwanted places where we're looking for direction when we're letting go of what's behind, and to know that you never cease to guide us and direct us and use us for your sake, that allows us always to say, we are living the dream. Amen.